Amazing. So I'm going to start really, really simple. Why do we pray? So obviously Jesus is our example. He is the best example of how we can be, what we can be like. And actually when we look at him, we see that he was someone who prayed for people constantly. He healed people who came to him for every kind of disease, every kind of sickness. In Matthew 4, verse 23 to 24, it says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Luke 4, verse 40 says, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Jesus didn't turn people down. He was always there to offer support, to pray for them. And so we want to follow that example. He also commands his disciples to pray as well, and every single one of us here is one of Jesus' disciples. In Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, it says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We should not just be receiving. This is actually a real opportunity that God gives us, not just to receive, but to give out. And this here, praying for people, is one of those opportunities for us to actually just actually share with people what we can receive as well, to be able to help them partner with Jesus in the way that we have, and to share something that is so dear. One of the things I love as well is actually when we look at when Jesus was praying for people, when he was healing people, his motivation behind it was compassion. In Matthew 14, verse 14, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In Mark 1, verse 40 to 41, it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Matthew 20, verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. So from there, I just want to lead on to a bit about what actually is our heart for this. Why are we doing this? What do we want this to look like? One of the things we want to do is we want to partner with God and what God is already doing. We are already seeing that God is doing this. He is moving. He wants to heal people. He wants to bring emotional healing, physical healing. He wants to pour out his love and his compassion onto people. And this is an opportunity for us to partner with what God is already doing. More importantly as well, we want the people that are being prayed for and receiving that prayer, we want them to feel safe. We want them to leave feeling seen, feeling heard, and feeling loved. Nothing that Jesus did was without keeping people's dignity, without having compassion for them. So that is really at the heart of what we want to do. Yes, we want to see people healed. Yes, we want to see people set free, but we want to see people walking away feeling loved and feeling safe. One of the other things we really want to do within this is actually really normalizing prayer. I think it's been really good. We've been seeing so many people coming to receive prayer, but what I've learned in my short time so far in Northern Ireland is that people want to make sure that things feel safe before they get up and do them. I think one thing we'd really love to encourage from you guys is actually to come and receive prayer. And it doesn't need to be because I need it for this. It doesn't need to be for any particular thing, but actually you can just come up and say, actually, I would just love to receive prayer. And what we want to do in this room is set the example. We all know here how important prayer is and how much it's affected us. Hopefully, I know for myself, I have been a changed person since receiving prayer. When I first came back into the church, I probably went and received prayer every single Sunday for maybe the first 6 months and probably cried every single Sunday for the first 6 months. And so I know what an impact it's had on my life, and I want people to be able to share that. So yeah, let's set the example. Let's get up and receive prayer ourselves and show people that this is safe and this is normal. One of the other things that we really want to see in this is God gives us gifts, and he wants those gifts to be used for others. As it said earlier, freely you give, freely you receive, freely give. And so this is an opportunity actually for us to operate in our giftings, but also to learn and grow, because sometimes you might not know maybe what your giftings are, or you might think, maybe I have this gifting, but I don't know, or I don't really know how to practice it. But this is a really safe space for people to come and learn and to actually, yeah, just practice the gifts that God might have been given to you. And one thing we're really aware of is that, you know, we are learning and mistakes will happen, and that's okay. So we don't want there to feel any sort of pressure or any sort of shame or anything like that if people are maybe come away feeling actually that wasn't quite right. And what we really want to do is just make this a space where actually it's okay to be corrected, and we will be learning and we will be offering feedback to each other, and that's a really good thing. And so we just want to reinforce that, yeah, that's a really good thing to be receiving feedback, and we just want to do that so we can learn and help each other to grow. So I'm going to hand over to the amazing Chris now. He'll be going through some of the basics of prayer.
Amazing. This would be a great ploy if we just hijacked this moment and said we're all now going to pray for Manchester United, who are about to kick off in 30 minutes. As much as I'd like to do that, we're not going to do that. But I firstly want to say, before we get into some of the mechanics of what it looks like to pray on a Sunday morning and be part of that team, I'm just firstly so moved by the amount of people that are in this room that want to train in prayer ministry and also be a part of offering prayer to our community. 2 years ago, me and Jenny were on holidays in New York, and we went to church on the Sunday. We don't usually go to church on holidays. I don't know why I feel the need to say that, but we don't usually do that. But this holiday, we end up going to a church. We knew one of the guys who worked there. And it was a church probably around 400 people, so a little bit bigger than what our second service on a Sunday would be like. And they came towards the end of the talk, and then they brought up what they called was their prayer counselors, their prayer team. And there was about 60 people got up, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that is so many people. Like, this is going to be so awkward. There's going to be so many people just stood looking at this room while we worship, because, like, surely not that many people are going to respond in prayer. And to my shock, there was literal queues behind each of them for prayer. And that began a little bit of a journey in me, if I'm honest, a bit of a grieving in me, where so often we offer prayer ministry at the end of church, and we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people come up for prayer, which is amazing, and we love that. But I can't help but wonder how many more people are still sat in their rows, missing out on potentially what God has made available to them in that moment. And then this time last year, I was over speaking at a vineyard thing in South Africa, and I was just entirely blown away in all different kinds of ways. But the one way that really shocked me was for us who live here and are part of the Western world, like, God is, if we're really honest, we want to condense it down, he's an option. So very often people in our community, like, that, you know, they have insurance, they have savings, they have family, they have mortgages, they have jobs, they have all these sort of security blankets. And so eventually they will exhaust every option. And if all those don't work, then maybe they'll come forward on a Sunday for prayer. Maybe. And very often it seems to be the last line of defense, the last Hail Mary that's thrown to move towards that. And when I was in South Africa, it was the complete opposite. It's their first action. Like, the climate is entirely different. They don't think about operating in any other different space. They're like, of course, we're going to go directly to God. And I guess for me, it's been a bit of a journey for me and my own heart around what does it look like for our community to fully grasp the importance of moving our feet towards the front of our space, which in many ways is very ordinary. But when we move our feet, so often God meets us way more than halfway. And if you've been around for the last little while, it's fair to say that as we've been leaning into this, as Claudia has been pioneering this in our community, the spiritual temperature on Sunday mornings have significantly risen. And it was amazing this Sunday. There was queues on Sunday, which is why we need more people trained to pray for people on Sunday mornings, which is why you're all in this room. And that's very, very exciting. But it's remarkable how even in the last few weeks and months, that has been a shift. But when it comes to prayer ministry, when it comes to praying on Sunday mornings, firstly, the heart of prayer ministry It is not all about technique, but actually it's all about relationship. We are joining in with what God is doing in a space. John Wimber often emphasized prayer ministry is about doing the stuff, the things that Jesus called us and released us to do, to step into the kingdom of God and to demonstrate it. And prayer is a way in which we get to do that. It's a way we get to access what God is making available to us in those spaces. And for us who are praying, we need to always remember that God is always at work. Our role, in actual fact, is to watch and to listen with what God is doing around us and then join in and partner with it. Prayer is powerful, not because of eloquence, the fancy words that we might say, but because of God's presence. We are not the source, but we are the participants. We're the one in which God chooses to move through in order for people to encounter healing, freedom, and incredible things. And this means that our posture around this is all about humility. We can't actually manufacture anything. And if we could, we certainly have no intention to do so. Our entire heart is to join in with what God is doing in the room and how we partner with that. And so when it comes to setting the culture, we want Sunday morning environments to be secure, grounded, and spirit-led. We're not there to perform, to fix people, or to impress them either. We are there to, firstly, as Claudia's already said, we're there to love people, and we're there to partner with the Holy Spirit who is living and active in our midst. We're to keep it simple, we're to keep it natural, and also kind. And so when someone comes up on a Sunday morning for prayer, the first thing, and there is a caveat to this, the first thing generally is to ask them what they would like prayer for. And when we ask them, some people may be vague, some people may be overly descriptive. That's okay. Our job is not to interrogate. It is to receive simply what they offer and then to pray. When it comes to praying for them, generally we will always pray in twos. There is times where we'll pray in ones as well, but we'll get on to that. But generally we will always pray in twos. And whenever it comes to praying, you'd be surprised how often we miss this. 101, keep your eyes open, okay? So I grew up, my grandmother taught me how to pray, and she's an amazing woman. But for some reason, if I wanted to pray really hard, it was all about how much I scrunched my eyes. So the more I scrunched my eyes, I felt the better I was praying. It's actually the opposite. When we're praying for people in prayer ministry, we're to keep our eyes open and to notice. We're to stay engaged and present. We're to watch the person and to see what God might be doing. We are to notice what we notice, whether it be small changes in posture, whether it be emotion, or generally them just responding. And one of the things we talk about in this community is we ask questions when it comes to this space. God, what do you see and what do you say? You actually can't see what God is seeing if your eyes are closed. It's really important that we keep our eyes open when it comes to praying for them. Sometimes people will also keep their eyes open at you when they pray for them. I've had that a few times. You pray for them and you're just locked eyes praying. It's very awkward, but they might sometimes do that. If they do that, do not chicken out. Do not close your eyes. Keep your eyes open at all times. That's super, super important because it's not actually about intensity. It is all about attentiveness. We want to be attentive to what God is doing and how he may be encountering that individual. The second thing is to ask for permission when laying hands. So often every Sunday I will ask, is it okay if I put a hand on your shoulder or a hand on your head? Generally try to keep it to their shoulders. Or maybe their head, I don't know, generally the shoulders. But always ask them. Sometimes they'll say, no, that's totally fine. Your hand does not need to be on them for that to be, there's nothing super special that happens in that. It's just often how we are taught to pray in the New Testament through the laying of hands. As I've said, we're going to pray in twos. And part of this, we'll be building on a rota. Claudia will talk about this in a little while. And hopefully those prayers will be male and female, and should be able to pray in twos. But if we have to pray in ones, because there's so many people, then we will go gender by gender. So males pray for males, females pray for females, as we go around that. I know some of these things are very basic, but they are important. The next one is to listen. And again, this is so important and often very missed. I only learned this a few weeks ago when chatting to our friend Ted Kim when he was over, but he talked about often how John Wimber, who's the founder of our movement, would have led ministry times. And they are the stories of what happened in those spaces are remarkable. But one of the things that he talked about was how he waited in silence for long periods of time. In fact, he talked about how he would have often waited for what felt like an age before actually then partnering with what the Lord was doing in the room. And when someone comes up for prayer, this is really important. And honestly, it's not as awkward as it sounds. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Pray, come Holy Spirit, and then wait. Listen. Take 15, 20, 30 seconds. Anything longer than that, they'll probably think that you're not actually going to pray. But generally, you want to take a pocket of space to actually listen. When we're praying the prayer, God, what do you see and what do you say? We can't hear what he says if we're not going to choose to actually take a moment to listen. And so eyes open, and we also want to wait in those moments as well. And there are various ways when we open ourselves up to listen from God that God may want to speak to us. Thoughts that may come to mind, images or pictures that may come to mind, maybe even scriptures will come to mind, or you might even get feelings or impressions or physical sensations. No one way is more spiritual than the other, but the general rule of thumb is to notice what you notice. And so if things are highlighted to you, then lean into them. And obviously the caveat to that is it has to be encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. We don't want to be leaning into any other space around that. And when it comes to the prophetic stuff, as I've said, often in this context, when it comes to prophetic ministry or words of knowledge or words of wisdom, they are to be encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. And so they are the three things in which they must be. What we don't want it to do, and often this is actually found in the language, when we're offering what we think we may sense for someone, it's really important that we get our language correct, even if you are 100% convinced, and I know some of you might be. But what we want to do is we want to say things like, I sense, or I might be wrong, but here's what I'm sensing or feeling for you. What we don't want to say is, thus saith the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you right now, or God told me this explicitly. Even if he did, don't say that. Say what you sense and what you feel. Offer it to the person for them to discern. It is your job to dispatch it, not necessarily interpret it. And this is also really important when it comes to prophetic words, and you'd be amazed at how often these things actually happen. We don't want to prophesy partners, wedding dates, births, or any of those sorts of things. We want to stay well away from those sorts of things because that can get really messy really, really quickly. After you've shared with them, you may actually share what the sense is, and you may both have your eyes open. You may be having a conversation. It's important that you then take a moment to actually bless that. And so to lay hands on that and actually pray and bless what you've just shared in that moment. A key rule around all this is we want to avoid giving advice. We also are not there in this moment on a Sunday morning to fix the situation. We're also not there to teach three-point sermons when they come up at them or to correct them on where they are wrong. That's actually not what that space is totally for. We are not counselors in that moment or even preachers or teachers in that moment. We are listeners and responders in that moment to what the Holy Spirit may be making available to them in that space. And when the Holy Spirit moves, often it can present itself in all different ways. And in a moment, you'll be glad to hear we're not just going to listen to me or Claudia or Andy in a minute. We're also going to do some of this because that's also how we learn. But whenever you have your eyes open, it's important that you notice what you notice. And there are different physical responses that can happen when the Holy Spirit is resting on someone or encountering someone. At times, it will be peace and stillness. Sometimes it will be emotion, such as tears, or even at times laughter. Sometimes there can be shaking or physical responses. There can be heat that they feel or tingling. They may even fall or even rest in a moment as well. All of those things, I'm sure, range from being ordinary to what you consider to strange, depending on your church experience, but they are all biblical. There is all examples of these in the scriptures of when the Holy Spirit falls on someone or encounters someone, there is a wide list of things that can happen as he manifests. And so what to do in that moment? Stay calm. Don't freak out. Don't scream. Don't also fall over if they fall over. Don't lie down beside them. Don't panic. Continue praying gently. And remain attentive to what is actually happening. In some moments, it's really appropriate to actually give some space to what is actually going on. What we don't want to do is to rush people or try to manufacture anything or to draw attention or to panic. And what we also don't want to do, I don't think anyone's ever done this in our community, but we would hate for it ever happen, is to actually physically push someone over. We're not going to ever do that. So it's important that we note that. But our role actually in all this is very simple to condense it all down. It is to host the presence of God, not control it. We are there purely to actually partner with what the Lord is doing, to listen, to notice what we notice, to hear what he says, to take risks that are comforting and encouraging, and to lean into that. So here's what we are going to do. We are going to pray now. So we are going to, in a minute, break, and you're going to get into threes. And what you're going to do is you're going to pray for one person in that three. You're going to pray for them for around a minute or 2 minutes. You're going to do it really quick, and then you're going to switch. Hopefully we can get through at least two, so maybe one of you will be prayed for, and you'll get to pray for them as well. Here is the really important points that we've talked about. You want to keep your eyes open. You want to look at them. You want to pray in twos. You want to take some time to wait for maybe 15, 20, 30 seconds. You want to share what comes to mind. Whatever might be that comes to mind, take a risk. Don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it. Have a go for it. And then pray for them. And then we will also switch around and have a go with that. So, are you up for that? Do you want to rock? Is that what they do in rugby?
Surprised you know anything about a real sport. Anyway. Apologies for my attire. I've been coaching for the last couple of hours. I thought it's only fair, because he's about to make you do it, that we maybe just make him a guinea pig for a minute. Just to maybe give you a bit of an idea before we just throw you in. So you need to take your hat off so they can notice. Claudia, come help me. Come stand over here. So we're just going to pray for Chris. And come here. Sorry, it only works.
There's lots of people here.
It only works if you're standing up, didn't you know? It's a big room. It's a bit awkward, but he's also very secure. So don't look at me in the eyes. That's weird. This is important. We teach a point on that. If someone is looking at you in the eyes while you're praying for them, don't look at them in the eyes. Okay. We can talk more if you're geeky and want to know details, but we can talk about that later. But that's not helpful for them or for you. So if they want to keep their eyes open, look at their forehead or their chest or somewhere other than their eyes, okay? Anyway, you close your eyes. That'll make us all feel better. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Chris. Thank you for the gift he is to all of us. Will you come and just meet him now, we pray. Just welcome your presence. Some of you are far away to notice things, but just if you're seeing things there while we're praying, just shout them out. Be brave. What do you notice? Fingers are moving, yeah? Anybody notice anything else? His mouth's moving. Yeah. Yeah. He looks a bit flushed. Yeah. I have so many jokes. That's not fair. That's not fair. Someone else said something else. Yeah. Yeah. He started to sway a little bit, didn't he? So sometimes, like, what you'll notice, maybe even as we're doing this, is like, this requires you to be super attentive. Like, it all matters, you know? We're not just like, okay, my eyes are open and I'm just kind of looking around the room. We got to pay attention. Just continue to stay engaged with Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Claudia, what do you see? What do you sense?
The two things I was really sensing was, as we were praying for you, my left hand started getting really hot and tingling. And I saw that your hands were moving as well. I felt like God maybe was speaking about around healing. Another thing that I was noticing as well was, we don't need to be prophetic to know that you have gift for speaking and teaching. But like as I saw your kind of jaw clenching, I think just what I had a sense of was that God was just reaffirming your anointing, your speaking, and your teaching.
Speaking there, did you notice anything? Just shout it out. This isn't trick questions. So there's a sense of him receiving, agreeing. Anything else? So one of the things we need to learn, I'm going to talk about this in a minute or two, is to learn to see with our eyes and our spirits. Okay, so we're trying to do both at the same time, which is like, the same with your eyes bit, you're all pretty good at, you know. So then the other part that we're learning on that is learning to see in our spirits. Okay, so we're asking God, right, what do you see here? And there'll be physical manifestations of things that we're like, yeah, I'm starting to see some things, hands are moving. One of the things you'll notice all the time, you'll notice this on Sundays, people come up, you start praying for them, they're so tense, they're actually sometimes terrified, you know. They can't even believe that they're there. And then I invite them to close their eyes, put a hand on their shoulder, come Holy Spirit, and then you wait. And then you start to notice this becomes just as they begin to relax and engage with God and forget about the fact that they're now standing somewhere they maybe told their mates they would never be found, you know? The sense I had as I was just watching Chris was just, it was like a battery being recharged. That was what I felt like I saw in my kind of, spirit's maybe an unhelpful word. Phil Emerson, for anybody that knows Uncle Phil, talks about knowing in your knower. It's just like you just feel like you know something somewhere in you. I don't know where it lives. For me, it actually feels like it's more in here than it is up here. But like, I just felt like in here, I could see. I wasn't thinking about cutting the grass, but I have a battery-powered lawnmower, and you plug it in, and it's got like four lights is fully charged. I wasn't thinking about that at all. You know, but as soon as I started to watch Chris, I was like, I could see the battery, you know. And so does that sound like something Jesus might do as we pray for somebody? Of course it does, you know. And so if I was in there or on the streets or even in a conversation, I might say, oh, look, I just think God's filling you up right now. So come, Holy Spirit, recharge where he feels empty. Yeah, give him what he needs. Yeah, we just pray right now for where you have poured yourself out, that you'd be recharged. Notice that? See that? Anybody going, I don't see that? This is really important. If you're like, I don't see, don't just go with the herd. Just kind of notice that, like, it's like, oh, something like felt like it sort of either landed on him, or it's just as you're ministering the presence of Jesus to people. And that's what we're looking for. Good job. We could keep going here for ages, but we've other people to. Well, don't. I still have jokes about things, but I'm not going to do it. So you're leading an exercise now? Oh, cool. Great. So it's as simple as that, but did you get a sense of how unhurried that was? You get a sense of rhythm. Obviously, in ministry moments, we're not stopping and teaching through it, but we are so not hurrying, okay? And then I'll talk a little bit more in a minute. So you're going to try, and then I'll talk a little bit about some techniques and things that are helpful. We also, it's funny when you're up here teaching this, whenever you've lots of people in the room who are like doing this, not just in lovely, safe church environments, but on the streets regularly. And so if you're in our HOTS team, led wonderfully by William and Val, would you just stand for a second for us? If you're part of our HOTS team, just stand up, please. We'd love to just honour you guys. Can you give them a round of applause? One of the things, and you're like, can I sit again? I was actually going to play there for a second and be like, no, you have to stay standing. Here's one of the things. If you want to understand how to grow in authority in the kingdom of God, figure out how to live humbly. And I feel so humbled that these guys that do this every month on the streets in our city are like here tonight going, teach us some more, please. Because really, genuinely, like if you want a wild ride, go pray for people on the streets. It gets wild enough in here, but like doing it on the streets is just, it's a whole other thing. And it is an amazing place to learn. And so if you are here tonight and you're like, actually, like I want to learn more about what this is like and how to get involved and all those sorts of things, then see William and Val and get on the streets with them. Because some of the stories and the things that I feel like a bit of a creep because I'm like quite silently on their WhatsApp group. But I just, on Saturdays when they're out, like I just love the kind of cascade in the evenings of stories and people that they're still praying for and all those sorts of things. And so I just thought it was really important to recognize you guys and what you've built actually there in our community as we kind of lean into that in here. So if you've got a phone with you, can you take it out for me? Go to your notes. I'm going to give you the three most important prayer ministry tips that you're ever going to get for praying for people in church, okay? Or if you've got a notepad, you can just write them down. Three most important tips. Tip number one, you've already heard, keep your eyes open. And if you find that hard when you were just praying for people there now, you're like, it's one of the reasons why it's important to pray in pairs, because whenever the other person closes their eyes, you can hit them a dig. Be like, keep your eyes open. And it's really important as you're learning to do this, particularly for those of you who are new to this type of thing. It does take a wee bit of rewiring to learn how to pray with your eyes open. Chris is absolutely right. We've been so formed. This is our prayer posture. Whereas actually when we're praying for people, it is so, so, so important to keep your eyes open. And you do have to discipline yourself to learn it. Okay. So that's tip number one. Tip number two, these are in a hierarchy. Okay. So that's the most important thing. Second most important thing, write this down, and this is not a joke. I'm deadly serious about this. It is also kind of funny. Don't be weird. It's really important. Like, honestly, this is not a joke. It's really, really important. Okay? Now, here's what you need to know. I have felt led by Jesus to do some weird things whilst praying for people. Okay? And when I do that is when I know who they are and it's in a safe environment to do so. Usually if I'm at a pastor's gathering or I'm with some leaders. And the Lord sometimes does ask us to do things that don't make a whole pile of sense to me. One of the ones that happens to me regularly enough is I feel like the Lord tells me to clap. Now, if you are in prayer ministry receiving mode and all of a sudden I can clap loud, right? And I clap beside your ear, it scares the absolute life into you. Okay? Like it's proper, like, whoa, what is that? And quite often I have found when ministering to people that there's something that the Lord wants to highlight or do or shake off or whatever. But that's so weird, right? I'm going to pray for you and then bang, it's like, what was that, right? That's not what we're looking for on Sundays whenever the person standing in front of you might be in church for the very first time in their life. Okay? If you're not sure what weird is, please accept this with all my love and grace. It means you're probably weird. And you need some friends to help you notice what that is. Okay? And this, like, I know this is kind of funny. This is so important. There is nothing worse. There is nothing, honestly, guys, that I think grieves Jesus more than when someone has taken all of their courage to present themselves in front of a stranger to be prayed for. and then you start blowing in their face or something, which also happens in prayer ministry sometimes, you know. And again, sometimes it can be really powerful. Like, some of you remember Dennis Bourne's. Dennis blew in my face one time. I fell over and didn't get up again for about 25 minutes. Right? But that's not what we're trying to do on a Sunday whenever we're meeting people for the first time. And, you know, so the prayer ministry we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like the ocean, right? And our job, when people present themselves to go, I might dip my toe in that little wave, our job is not to try to drag them out of their depth. That's not our job in there, okay? It's really, really important. We're actually really excited about developing how we're offering prayer ministry and inner healing and all that sort of stuff. We're at the beginning of a journey, and we've already done a few things on Saturdays in here and all that sort of stuff that will require an awful lot more training and an awful lot more kind of relationship and conversation and all of the things that we can't do in 30 seconds on a Sunday. Okay, so that's just really important. And here's our commitment to you, and I hope we don't have to do this, but authority is given to those who are under authority. So if you want more authority in the kingdom, submit to authority. Now, for better or worse, you can decide. It has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to the leaders of the Vineyard movement to entrust me with that in this particular community. Okay? So that's not really up for grabs, right? I'm in charge. And if I think we're doing stuff that's weird, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and be like, please don't do that. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I care so much about the person who feels on the outside. Like, if you pay close attention to our language, particularly whenever I'm preaching and teaching all that sort of stuff, I will start with the person who feels farthest away. That's why we explain what's going on. That's why we try to use language that makes sense. We're not making Jesus Lord of our lives. We're making him boss of our lives. It's such a simple thing. But if you've not grown up around church or you haven't grown up around religious language, that doesn't really make any sense. But we know what bosses are and how they work. Thank goodness he's a good one. Right? But it's really, really important. Okay? Don't be weird. Third thing is this, and this is also hard for those of you that have been following Jesus for a long time. Keep your prayers short. If you can execute those three things while praying for people, keep your eyes open, don't be weird, and keep your prayers short, God is not moved by the amount of words that you use. He wants to meet people. I used to have this thing which was like, what if I don't know what to say? Right? I don't know if any of you felt like that even when we were just doing that. You're like, do you know what? The bridge I've had to cross, and I think it's into a land called maturity, is I have more confidence in God's love for the person standing in front of me than I do in my kind of inability to kind of figure it out, right? I just believe that God's going to meet that person. That's who he is. And so I'm going to offer whatever I have. And if I learn how to keep my prayers short, then I don't need to worry about how it sounds or how it comes across or all those sorts of things. Does that make sense? Three most important top tips. Keep them in your phone. If you're praying for people on Sunday, we'll probably keep reminding you guys of that. But if it's helpful for you to just pull it up on your phone and remind yourself. And if you're not sure if it's weird, ask somebody before you do it. Okay? That can help. And here's what's important for me to really stress, guys, because this is important. There are times when the Lord asks us to do weird things. What we're saying is Sunday morning when people are responding is not the time to exercise that. Okay? There are other environments that we are working on and creating. Draw Near is one where we get to kind of experiment and play. It's a slightly different environment. There's less likely, although, I mean, what I'm discovering at the minute is there are people discovering faith in all of our environments. I am never assuming I'm talking to a room full of Christians ever at the minute. I mean, I used to do that as a discipline. It's now become a reality. It's actually happening. Newcomers, we have people that are here and they're like, I'm not really sure what's going on. But when we come here, stuff happens. And so we were coming back, you know, and they're newcomers. Obviously, there's Alpha stuff, Draw Near, things like this. So there are other environments where we get to kind of, I suppose, be in slightly deeper waters, if that's a helpful metaphor for you, where there is a bit more permission to play and all those sorts of things. But for Sundays, we want to make sure that we're doing all that kind of stuff. All right? Does that make sense? We are going to do some Q&A in a few minutes, but a couple of things that are important that we're going to talk about physical healing. If I can hurry up. Why do we do prayer this way is because we actually believe, for those of you that remember the Lord's Prayer, that he taught us to pray, your kingdom come where? On earth. Okay? So, again, basic 101 stuff. The kingdom of God is the place where God gets what he wants. That's what the kingdom is. And so Jesus is teaching his followers how to contend for and live into the reality of the desires of God alive here and now. That's really, really important that you understand that. That's why we actually believe and expect God to do supernatural things. It's not just because he loves us. He does. Okay, but that's not necessarily the theological underpinning of why we pray the way that we pray. The theological underpinning of why we pray the way that we pray is because Jesus taught us to demonstrate the reality of the desires of God on the earth. And if you read the Gospels through that lens, all of a sudden they make a whole lot more sense. That's what he's doing. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Okay, so turn around. Sort your life out because the desires of God are coming alive on the earth. Okay? So that's what's going on. And then you see Jesus go and take the outsider. Some dots might start to connect. Take the outsider and help them understand that actually God's lens on them is that he's for them and he desires for them not to feel on the outside. And so that's why the lepers get healed. That's why Jesus treats women the way that he treats them. That's what's going on. These aren't just, the miracles aren't just evidence that he's God. That's not what's going on. I remember sitting with a fairly famous megachurch pastor once, and he tried to do a talk that Jesus did miracles to draw crowds to hear his message, which, if you're familiar with the Gospels, makes no sense. Because usually when he did miracles, he said what? Don't tell anyone. This is a bad plan if that's your strategy. But go tell everybody. That's not what he's doing. Signs and wonders are evidence of the kingdom on earth, the place where God wants happens. His order, reordering our chaos. And whether that chaos is in our physical bodies, in our emotional lives, in our minds, in our families, in our businesses, some of the principles that we're going to teach you in a minute or two around physical healing are the exact same principles that you can apply to a business problem, family problem, finance problem, whatever it is. You know, we operate from the paradigm that the kingdom has been inaugurated. Jesus is now actually ruling. That's what happens at resurrection. So Matthew 28, Matthew's doing a fun thing whenever he calls the disciples to the mountain. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's a direct correlation to Matthew 4, where Satan takes Jesus to a mountain and he's like, I'll give you the world if you worship me. And Jesus doesn't say, all authority's mine. That's not his counter in Matthew 4, because it's not yet. But post-resurrection, he's now the actual king. And so that's what he's saying. That's what that means. Whenever Jesus stands in front of his disciples and he says, all authority on heaven and earth is now mine. Therefore, go. What he's saying is, my authority is the authority in which you are commissioned to go and reorder the world, to take the chaos and make it into God's good order. So that's what we're doing. We've already talked about John 5, I tell you the truth, the Son can only do himself what he sees the Father doing. All right, two most important prayers in your life. God, what do you see? God, what do you say? If you're taking notes, those should be in your notes. I pray those prayers. I couldn't guess how many times a week I pray those prayers. Almost every situation, especially if I'm not quite sure what to do or what's going on. Jeepers, God, what do you see and what do you say? And the more stressful the scenario, the more important those prayers become. Because often in those moments, what I see and what I say don't align with the plans and purposes of God. All of this, we should also say, this is really, really important. Because this is a real privilege that we get to do this. You know, like we get to actually partner with the ministry of Jesus in people's lives It's astounding to me. I sat in the front row of our baptisms a couple of weeks ago, and Dana and I have been having some interesting chats about job satisfaction recently. I hope she wouldn't mind me saying this, but like particularly her lack of it, maybe. And we were sitting there, and as people started to tell their stories, I was in tears, she was in tears, and she just looked at me and she was like, talk about job satisfaction. like the ultimate privilege that we get to be a part of the transformation of people's lives. Such a privilege. And it's exciting. But here's what's really, really important. We have to love the giver more than the gifts. That's really important. So our all of this stuff has to flow out of our intimate relationship with Jesus, not our desire to do cool stuff or be involved in miracles or those sorts of things. That's really, 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 really important. Learning God's ways flows out of intimacy and relationship with him, and it's not formulaic, and that's really annoying. Because the minute you think you've got a formula cracked, I think I was talking about this maybe the other Sunday, he moves the goalposts. Why? Because he cares about relationship way more than formulas. Having said that, there are some things that can be helpful to learn and some things that we do notice, and there are patterns and all those sorts of things. We've done that. Seeing in the natural, we've done that. Seeing in the spiritual. There are times when you'll be praying for somebody and you'll see very little naturally. Like for me, physical kind of manifestations... Like, they're not that common. Like, they have happened to me, but they're not that common. I used to think it was like I don't know, really mature people had that going on. What I've actually learned is quite often when you see people having the same manifestations in the same ways for years, it's actually a symptom of immaturity, not maturity. That's a whole other talk. And again, we can take some time to chat about that later, but... It's really, really important that you don't think manifestations are the point. Really, really important. And it's really important that is cultural for us, because there are certain communities and streams of church where the idea is manifestations are the point. And so if somebody's having quite an intense manifestation, God must really be doing something with them. And sometimes that's not the case at all. And what can actually happen is it becomes particularly, I love what's going on with our young people. I love what's going on with our kids. They learn then very quickly, oh, if I flop around or fall over or make noise, I get attention. People pray for me. That's really, really unhelpful. Okay, so we are not in any way trying to quench what Jesus is doing. Okay, we're trying to be free and open and healthy. Okay, and so sometimes manifestations happen. Sometimes they don't. Okay. Acts 14 says, this is 8 to 10, I think. It says, in Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and he'd never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed, and he called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. This is mid-sermon. I mean, I just love what... ministry with Jesus is like. The really important question is, what does faith look like when you see it in someone? Like, what do you think, what did it look like? What did Paul see? I am certain nothing with his natural eyes. Like, he didn't see the man holding a sign saying, I have faith. Something happened in his knower. He saw something there, and mid-sermon he went, hey, get up. And the guy just got up. It was like, imagine, I don't know how the rest of the talk went. Probably not great. Talk done. But anyway, so we have to learn to see not just with our natural eyes, okay? We learn to see both naturally and spiritually. And we used to have some sheep, and one of the things that... was quite amazing about the sheep. Whenever we were walking up, lambs really not sheep. When we would walk up the road and they would hear me talking to Dana, they would come flying. And then they would follow me along the fence and then back up to the house. Made me very sad when I had to put them in a trailer and take them to the slaughterhouse. But anyway, It did genuinely make me sad. And I was glad it made me sad, because I think if it didn't make me sad, that would say something bad about me. But anyway, the lamb was delicious. But here's the thing. Here's what's really important for you to understand. The sheep knew my voice. And the more familiar they became to me, do you know when they didn't follow me? The first day they arrived, they ran the opposite direction. You know, and then they got to learn that I was actually looking after them and usually had some food for them. And then they'd hear my voice and they would come running. Learning to hear God, learning to see with your spiritual eye, it's the same thing. It's a process of learning to hear his voice. And the only way you learn to hear his voice is by trying when you hear him speak. It's the only way you learn, is you have to try. You know, most of the time, hopefully this helps you. Most of the time, I have a sort of a feeling or a sense that God might be saying something. Most of the time, I'm really not convinced at all. Almost always, I have like, I'm like, 50% me, 50% God, who knows? I've just given up on trying to get to 75, 80, 90%. I'm like, so long as it's not something crazy, I'm just like, well, here you go. You know, like, what's the worst that's going to happen to Chris if I start speaking to him about recharging his batteries? What's the worst that's going to happen? I'd be like, oh, it's not that significant. Right? You know? But if it's God, you see what happened there. And Chris and I will have a fun chat tomorrow about what he's going to do. Because I think God really affirmed that he needs to recharge his batteries. Right? His car might start. It'd be fun in you if that's brought me and not me. Does that make sense? All right? So we got to try. Jordan Tsang, vineyard pastor from Hawaii, says, faith is spelled T-R-Y. Try. Some of you are like, T-R, what is that? Try. Try. Just try. And if we are within the boundaries of what we're trying to do on Sunday, then you have total permission to try. Because we're not trying to find sin. We're not trying to confront people. We're not trying to rebuke people. We are trying to be ministers of the love of Jesus. So just try. All right? Our biggest challenge is often having the confidence to believe that he would speak to us. I used to do this exercise. I'm giving it away now. In Compass, where we used to do Compass over the kind of whole year, where I would get people to write a prophetic word for someone in the room. Some of you will remember this. And we'd done lots on hearing God and how to do this and all that sort of stuff. And then they'd I'd ask them to just go away and listen and get a word for like a sentence or two or something that you feel like God might be saying to someone in the room. And the big surprise and the sneaky trick that I always played was that it was actually for themselves. And often, not always, but often it was profound. And it would be the kind of thing that they would never have believed God would be saying to them. Never. If I said, what do you think God might be saying to you right now? They would never have said that. Because they kind of got themselves out of the way and went, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And then they write it down. And then it's like, for you, it was like, I remember one particular individual, it was probably life-changing, that's what God might say to them. You know? Our biggest challenge is often having the confidence to believe that he would speak to us. We need to learn how to hear. I'm not really supposed to be talking about any of this, sure I'm not. Healing, is that what I'm supposed to be doing, Claudia? Yep. Sorry. Well, I don't have a whole lot to say. Like Jesus heals people. And the way that he heals people is through us. So when we pray for people and they get healed, who healed them? Right? So if you didn't pray for them, were they going to get healed? Most of my experience is not. Most of the time. Now, that's not to say that God's confined in that way, right? But most of the healing experiences that I've been involved in, like, I'll never, ever, ever forget Brian Fair was doing Compass, and he had a brain scan on the following Thursday. And we used to do this other exercise where people would stand facing the wall and people would come up and stand behind them. And then they had to give them a word of what they felt like God might be saying. And Brian was standing behind Amber Williams. And she had this word of dark clouds and the dark clouds parting and a rainbow in the sky. And it was very meaningful for Brian. And he had a scan that week to see what procedure he needed to have on his brain. And whenever he went to the appointment that Thursday, the doctor was like, there's no procedure. Like, we don't need a procedure. And his mum was in the appointment with him, and I love the story. She said, that's a miracle! She wasn't following Jesus at the time. That's a miracle! And the doctor said, well, we wouldn't use that language, but I have no medical explanation for what's happened. Right? Now, maybe, you're absolutely right. Maybe that's happened if we don't pray for him. You know? Here's what I do know. The more we pray for healing, the more healing we see. That's what I do know. Right? So this is what's important that we understand. All this stuff is partnership. That's God's desire and for us, is that we would partner with him. One of our curses as we culture is we disqualify ourselves and we think we're not worthy. And it's not that biblical if you're in Christ. Paul's very clear when he's writing letters to churches that are messed up. Like stuff going on that I would get sacked for. Not if I was doing, if it was just happening in like my vineyard. This would no longer be a church. And Paul writes to those people and he says, to the saints in that place. Why? Because they're in Christ Jesus. Yes, I like it. Okay? So whenever we come to minister with God, because that's what we're doing, we are ministering with him. If you've got all sorts of shame and insecurity, and I don't deserve any of this stuff going on, it's going to get in the way. And you probably should get some ministry. It's really, really important. It is not about what I also love about this place. We're brilliant at not letting people get too big for their boots. Don't worry about that. If you do, we'll let you know. Right? That's what it means to live here. And so whenever it comes to this, we've got to know that God is saying, come and join in with me. And you need to reframe that for those of you that had good parents. Like how fun it was. Maybe not when they're tiny, tiny, tiny. But now I've got like nearly 13-year-old twins that can lift heavy things. Like I love it when they, I'm like, lads, do you want to come chop some wood? They're like, yes, chainsaws and axes, we're in. I love it. I love it. Right? That's like broken dad. How much more our perfect father going, hey, do you want to be involved in what I'm doing in the world? Because I want you involved. Like, I want you involved. Right? So that's what's going on. We're going to talk about healing now because it's really, really important. And it just comes back to our point three, okay, when it comes to top tips for prayer ministry. We don't need long prayers, right? I remember praying for Pauline McNaught's elbow. Do you remember this in Husband's Lane? I had a word of knowledge about someone having a sore elbow. At this point, my like success rate on healing prayer was like below 10%. Most people I prayed for, nothing happened. And so I had this thing. Was it your left elbow? Right elbow. And I said, someone's here, they've got pain in their elbow, and Pauline came up and she's sitting down and I prayed my best short prayer. Elbow, be healed, pain be gone. And I said the most important and hard part when you're praying for healing for people, do you feel anything different? And she said, I'll never forget it. She said, I don't feel anything. And I started into this whole thing about why the kingdom is now and it's not yet. And not every time we pray for people, they get healed. It's just showing you where my faith levels were in case you think that your faith matters in these moments, right? I was convinced, oh, yeah, normal for me when I pray for healing for people. Nothing happens. Nothing happened. And she interrupted me so kindly in the way that only Pauline would. She said, Andy, all of the pain has gone. I was shocked. Totally shocked. Now, here's what I didn't need to do. I didn't need to convince God to move. I didn't need to pray some big long prayer. I just said, elbow be healed, pain go. And then it did. It was amazing. right?
Of course. That's an amazing story. That's the sort of story you should share with people. That's the sort of story would get me through a hard day, Pauline. Wow. Isn't that cool? Oh, gosh, I'm talking too long. This is, like, can we just have a wee teaching moment here? Because there are two ways to receive that will determine your interior world. There's that way, or there's, you healed my elbow and now I'm in flipping chemo. That's hard, isn't it? Like, I hope you don't feel any kind of judgment with that. It's Jesus said, often blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Right? There's often in our lives, we are presented with two doors. And the choices we make, Chris was talking about this yesterday, the choices we make bear fruit in our lives. And one of the, for any of you, lots of you know Pauline, one of the most hope-filled, peace-filled people I know to just be in their presence. Because they've cultivated a life that responds to things like that. That's really, really important, particularly when we talk about healing, right? Because the kingdom is both now and not yet. No matter how much healing we see, and I would love us to see so much more, we're all going to physically die one day unless the Lord returns. Okay? So that's really, really important that you understand that. We do not minister healing because we're afraid of physical death. That's not a biblical worldview. Understand that. That's not a worldview that is compatible with life in Christ. We live in a world that is terrified of physical death. Terrified. No clue what to do about it. We did a whole series in 2024 on this called Living in the Shadows. We are so ill-equipped to deal with the most guaranteed reality in life, which is physical death. We do not do this because we are afraid of that. Now listen, this is important. If in your lives the fear of physical death comes into your life, that's so normal in humans, so don't feel judged by that. But we need to fight in those times to get close to Jesus. And we all, his proverb says, number your days so that you may grow in a heart of wisdom. We all need to know that that's going to happen, okay? So we're not doing this because we're afraid of that. We're doing this because it's evidence that Jesus is actually now ruling and he brings his order to the chaos, though not perfectly and not always. All right? Really, really important. A couple of things. Mark 1:41. Claudia, I promise I'll let you say something in a second. Sorry. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Right? It's just really simple. I'm willing, be clean. Peter said, Acts 3:6, Peter said, silver or gold I don't have. What I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Okay? When it comes to physical healing, we're not asking God to do something. We're not begging for him to intervene. We are confronting what is out of order and in the authority that Jesus has given us, commanding it to come into order. So, elbow be healed. Pain go. Cancer dissolve, nerves be made new, tooth grow back, right? Whatever it is, you do not need super holy, super spiritual language. Jesus has given us authority, and we then act it out, okay? And then the most awkward part of praying for physical healing for people is then you have to ask. It's the easiest thing to not do, right? So we pray. They have a wonderful time with God, and then we're like, okay, see you later. We have to, any change, because often what we're looking for is change improvement or healing. Okay? Sometimes there's things that go on in our bodies that actually have their locus in our spirits. Again, we can talk about that more later. That's not necessarily for Sundays. But sometimes you pray for someone who's got a right knee, you start speaking to the right knee, and then they're like, my knee feels fine, but now my shoulder's really sore. Was your shoulder sore before? No. That's probably a good time to come and get somebody else. All right? Does happen. Okay? It's just symptoms of other things that are going on. And quite often, that's actually not a physical problem. It's a spiritual one. Okay? So we're looking for change. Improvement. Sometimes this is where we do a pain score. So, like, you've got a sore right knee. Out of 10, what is it? People will be like, well, maybe it's like a 4. You're like, okay. Most of you would probably be thinking, why are you getting prayer? You should just be dealing with that yourself. So Northern Irish again. But anyway, so they're saying it's a 4. We pray, we check in. They're like, well, it feels a bit better. Still sore. Okay, what is it? They're like, well, it's probably a 2 now. Okay, here's what's really important. Don't stop there. Okay, that's where we're going to pray again. And we might stay at 2, or we might get to 0. All right, so super, super simple. Find out what the condition is. Invite the Holy Spirit to come, command it to be healed, and check in and see. And then you might need to repeat the process. All right? Really, really important. That's all I have to say about healing, really, for what we're doing now. Do you want to talk about emotions?
We're going to do this in just a second.
So I'm just going to touch a little bit around emotional healing as well. I think at the moment it's something that the Lord seems to be highlighting quite a lot. Especially with the day and age that we live in, there's so much going on around people's mental health and things like that. I'm just going to speak a bit about that. So just kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, like our role is not to fix whatever they're going through. Our role is to facilitate their time with Jesus, because Jesus is the one that's going to heal them, not us. The other thing we want to be really conscious of, we were talking about people's toes being dipped in and not pushing them into the ocean. Knowing actually sometimes when to stop. We want that person to feel safe and to feel emotionally cared for, and we don't want to push them to a place where actually they're not comfortable to be in, or where actually this is too much now. If that's the case, finish the prayer time, come speak to myself or whoever else is leading that day, and we'll see if we can try and offer them additional prayer at another time, when it's actually a little bit safer for them, and we're not making them so vulnerable. One of the things as well is, we mentioned about asking people what they want prayer for. Sometimes if people start going into a lot of detail or begin getting quite emotional, which can be very much the case when people need emotional healing, we actually just want to take them straight to Jesus. We don't necessarily need to hear everything from them, but actually it's a really good thing to stop them and say, actually, let's take this to Jesus together. We don't want them to attach to us. We're not the ones that are going to help them. Jesus is. So we just want to just help them take it straight to Jesus. So just reiterating a couple of things from earlier again, we just invite the Holy Spirit, just say, come, Holy Spirit, or Jesus, you have permission here. And ask them to take it to Jesus if they feel comfortable out loud. If not, you can just be there with them. And then we wait. We just observe. We see what God's doing, practice what we did doing earlier, seeing if there's anything physical going on, or listening to what God might be saying to us, seeing spiritually. And then if there is any words that you want to give, again, just reiterating, we want to give those in a way that enables people to reject them if they're wrong, and setting up in a way that is so saying, I think God might be saying this. I don't know if it resonates. If not, that's fine. And just setting it up so that if it doesn't resonate, that's fine. Again, you know, if you're not sure about what it is that you're hearing, or if it feels like you're not sure if it's appropriate to say, speak to the other person you're praying with, and just mention, do you think this is something I should say, or are you sensing this as well? One of the things you might really feel is you might feel like a spare part, and that's fine. Again, it's not about us being there to help them. It's about us helping them to be with Jesus. And so I just want to touch on a few of the things that can quite commonly come up when we're dealing with emotional healing. So one of those is people can actually begin to confess things. There can be things that come up around forgiveness, not just forgiving other people, but actually needing to forgive themselves. And what comes along with that as well quite often is people have actually believed lies about themselves that God in that moment wants to just release them from that lie. So when it comes to confession, we just want to keep it really simple, but we want to ask them to take these things to Jesus. So we ask them to say out loud, Lord, I'm sorry for XYZ, or forgive me for XYZ. And then we listen. We don't just stop there. We actually listen to see what Jesus says in response to them. Again, it's a partnership with God. So what is the response? What is the exchange that is going on there? So we ask them to listen and see, what is God saying to you now? And listen as well, because he might give you a word of encouragement for them or something uplifting in that situation. Sometimes as well, it can be quite helpful for them to visualize themselves with Jesus, or to visualize themselves at the foot of the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. So the cross can be quite a good symbolism for the place where that happens, where we exchange with Jesus our sins for the truth and the gifts that he gives to us. So if you feel it's helpful in that moment, and that's something that you can maybe ask them to do. And the important thing as well is, if no one hears anything, if they don't hear anything encouraging from God, or you don't hear anything encouraging from God, you could just speak some promises that we know to be true over their lives. Things, for example, like they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Another one as well is just speaking about God's everlasting love for them. Again, this is something we know is true. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord appears to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And one of the things as well is, when confession happens, that's often actually time for the healing to then take place afterwards. So it's really good to keep an eye out and see actually what might God want to heal from there going forward. Again, in James 5 verse 16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So that's a really good invitation to us to look for, actually, is there something that God wants to do here around healing? Then moving on to forgiveness. Again, we just ask them to speak out. It's all about them taking it to Jesus. So we ask them to speak out, I choose to forgive X for the sin of Y. Again, it might be that actually they need to choose to forgive themselves. And sometimes that can be really hard for people to do. We don't want to push people if they're not comfortable with something, but we want to encourage them. And also, like, sometimes even the sin is unintentional, especially if it's, I think sometimes around a sin that someone else has committed to them, they might feel like, oh, I feel bad, like they haven't done this on purpose. But actually, it's still really important to forgive that person for what they've done, even if it's not intentional. And then once we've done that, we just remind them that they are free now from that. Unforgiveness can be something that can really take a hold on our hearts. And actually, once that forgiveness has happened, they are free. The forgiveness is what helps them heal. And often within that, when there is forgiveness that needs to take place, there often is lies that have been believed. Not always, but often that has happened. So it's a really good thing to explore. And just to gently ask them, you know, can you just ask God if there's any lies that you've believed about yourself within this? And we don't want to push it. We don't want to force it. If they're not hearing anything, that's fine.
Let me just say something about that. So what you're getting here is really important that you notice. I don't know if you've caught how many times Claudia's referenced a question that she would be asking. So that's important as you're praying for people. You might get a sense of, like, I just, you know, sometimes I'm praying for somebody and, like, I just can't get dad out of my mind or manure. You know, I might go straight there. I might go, hey, could just be me, but is there something going on in your wider family? You know, and then that's the door in there, like, gosh, mate. Something really happened with my dad. Do you know what I mean? So some of that stuff only comes up as you ask questions. You know, so you got to notice and then be prepared. Now, we're not trying to get into big, long conversations. They're quite specific and pointed. But, like, what about this? Or what about that? Or sometimes you have a sense of, like, oh, I just feel like there's an unforgiveness thing here, you know. And quite often, certainly on a Sunday, if you start there, you might get that definitely not. And then as the journey unfolds, 6 months later, you end up in a story that happens to me often where people are like, you asked me a question and I did not like it, you know. But it was the most important question, right? So just also, sometimes, I've had to learn this the hard way too. Sometimes you're absolutely right, but they're just not ready. And that's okay, you know. So, you know, sometimes that happens. So questions are really, really important. We're not trying to get into conversations. We're trying to get information to help our prayer, okay? So, again, sometimes people are a bit not used to it. They'll want to then go and tell the whole family history and all that kind of stuff. You're like, no, I just needed to know. Let me just see what the Lord might want to say about what's going on with you and your dad. Can we just pray again? You know, we don't need the whole family history. We don't need the whole conversation. It's just, yep, got it. Now I'm going to just, okay, Lord, what do you want to say about that? And now we're praying and we're welcoming him into that space. Does that make sense? Great.
So if that does come up, this might sound really weird and alien because of what it is, but it's actually really good to actually ask them to go to God and say, actually, I'm sorry for believing the lie of whatever it is. And then again, we're going to ask them to then go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is the truth that you say about me? Because we want to replace whatever that lie is that has been holding them or weighing down on them. We want to replace that with the truth that Jesus speaks over them. And that's a really important thing. So we really want to actually just sit and wait for God to reveal what that truth is. So again, we ask them, can you ask Jesus, what is that truth? And again, it can be sometimes useful for them to either imagine themselves physically handing over that lie to Jesus and seeing what he replaces that with. Also can be good to physically act things out and to do things with our bodies to actually physically mimic, like physically handing that over to Jesus and seeing what he gives in return. Again, it's only if people are comfortable. If they're not comfortable, they don't have to do anything. But just saying, yeah, if you feel comfortable, could you maybe actually action giving this to Jesus? And then just sit and wait. And oftentimes you can see if people are having, you know, are receiving from God something that is good. And if it's been a little while, you can maybe ask them, you know, have you seen something good that Jesus has said to you? And you want to make sure that it's something good as well. You don't want to make sure that we don't give an enemy space to just come in with another lie. We want to make sure that what they're receiving is good and it lines up with scripture. And as well, you can listen as well and see there might be a word of encouragement that God has for you to give to that person in that time as well. So that's about forgiveness. The last thing I just wanted to touch on quickly as well is sometimes people can express things around depression or self-hatred. And in that situation, we really want that person to choose life in that situation. So again, we just get them to say it out loud. I choose life. Again, if you're comfortable, could you just speak out loud? I choose life. And in that, just very simply, you don't want to make a big deal out of it. But we can actually just say, we just cut off the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. We just send it to the place where Jesus says it should go. And it has no permission concerning you as a child of God. And we just want to reiterate, they are a child of God. And any thoughts like that have no permission over them. Doesn't need to be anything to make a big deal out of. But we just want them to choose life, what God has for us.
Great job. Are you still going?
Yeah, sorry, almost done. And then just after going through any sort of emotional prayer, we just want to seal everything in. So we just want to pray just a short, simple prayer over them at the end, after all of that's done. Just say, yeah, we seal that in with the blood of Jesus or something along those lines. We pray a prayer of protection over them. And one thing that can be helpful as well is to just say, yeah, this door cannot be opened until it's God's timing. Just want to seal that over them, pray a prayer of protection over them, and just close that door so the enemy doesn't have a space to re-enter. One thing that can be helpful as well with that sometimes, if you feel it's necessary, and we will provide that, is to anoint people with oil. In Mark 6:13, it says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So this is something that's biblical. It doesn't have to be done, but if you feel it's right, then we'll have that available as well.
So good. What I meant, forgot to say, but it's really important for both physical healing and if we are ministering into mental health situations, sometimes this is now obvious, but we must state it. We will never, ever, ever counsel someone to stop taking medication. Okay, that's so important. Okay, we're not doctors. Well, some of you actually are, but you know, they need to do that in consultation with the medics that are treating them. Okay, that's really important. No matter how much they may be convinced that they're healed, or you might be convinced that they're healed, they need to go and see the people that are looking after them to make sure that that's happened. Okay, that's really, really, really important. Emotional healing, you'll find you're doing that all the time. You're not even aware. So even as we did our little clinic earlier, lots of you are in tears. What's going on there? It's just Jesus meeting people and ministering into parts of their lives that they need that, okay? So you don't need to be an expert on these things. And sometimes you're involved in stuff, you're not even sure what it is. God's grace covers it all, and beautiful, beautiful things happen. I'm going to ask those of you in the room that are comfortable receiving words of knowledge to just turn your antenna on. Okay, so we're going to do that in a minute or two. I'm just going to get people to throw some words of knowledge out into the room. Okay, so if you're comfortable doing that, I'll explain what that is in just a second. But if you're comfortable receiving words of knowledge, if you could just start listening to Jesus. We're also going to do some Q&A in just a second. So, and we've talked about, and then we're going to finish praying for each other. Okay, so the last thing we want to talk about is leading people to Jesus. Okay, so somewhat Claudia's just shared there around sealing prayers, and actually some of the authority that comes with that is actually really, really important, that the kind of the person who should be in charge is in charge. And it's important that we figure that out sometimes in conversation. So I'll be praying for somebody, feel like something's going on, I'll be like, hey, have you actually given your life to Jesus? Is Jesus actually the boss of your life? Would you consider yourself a Christian? Sometimes is a good question. And then the follow-up question to that is, and what does that mean for you? Right? Because there's lots of people that I've ended up praying for before. I'm like, would you consider yourself a Christian? Absolutely. What does that mean? Well, I grew up in Northern Ireland. Right? You know, I'm just like, okay, so let's just talk a wee bit about what Jesus being the boss of your life means. Leading people to Jesus is all about their heart, not your words. Okay? That's really important. God responds to our hearts. So, one of the ones that I've been playing with a little bit, you might have noticed on Sundays recently, is just God come in. God come in. I've been just trying to think, what is the most simple sentence that I can help? We're surrounded by people at the minute that are exploring faith and exploring church and exploring Jesus for the very first time. So I'm like, okay, how do I make this the easiest thing in the world for them to say? God come in. Super, super simple. Okay, usually then if it's that's like in my mind, bringing into Andy's brain for a second. So the person that's praying God come in is on their journey towards Jesus. Okay, not yet. Jesus is perhaps not yet boss of their life. Okay, but that's God come in. God, I want you in my life. What will then almost certainly start to happen is things will start happening in their life. Good and usually bad. You know, and they start coming around church and they're like, this is happening, this is going on, all this sort of stuff, you know, because they've started to welcome God in their life. If we're actually going to a full-blown salvation moment, then I will almost always do some form of turn from my past and choose you as boss. Okay, whatever language you want to wrap around that, make it your own words. There is no special magic words. What we are doing is turning from our past and the way we used to live our lives, and confessing, surrendering, inviting Jesus to be King, Ruler, Lord, Boss. The word doesn't matter. It's all about is that what's actually going on in their heart. Okay? So it's as simple as that. And important when you're ministering in there that if something's going on and you're like, oh, I'm not sure this person's actually a Christian yet, to check and to ask. And they might say, I'm not there yet. Again, totally fine. Okay? But your prayers will be much better guided if you know I'm praying for someone that's not yet following Jesus or someone that's surrendered their life to Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, cool. Questions, then we'll do words of knowledge, and then we're going to pray to finish. It's a big room, I know that, but there will be undoubtedly some questions in the room, I'm sure. Don't be shy. Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the anointing with oil thing usually for us would be something quite significant has happened, and we are anointing with oil as a symbol to seal what's happened. Okay, so I wouldn't be offering to anoint someone who's just come to the front, responded to something, they've received prayer for the very first time, and it's been great, good, whatever, but like we've just had, we're not trying to anoint everybody. That's much more of a something really significant has happened, and we want to help them mark that in that way. The question around love, compassion, and questions. So the questions, when I say don't be weird, that's not like if you start, someone stands in front of you and you know nothing about them, right? You've never met them before in your life. And they haven't spoken to their dad for 50 years, right? And it's wrecking their life. Not sleeping, stressed, anxious, burdened. And you then say, hey, like something, it could just be me, but is there something going on with you and your dad? That will feel weird to them, okay? So when I say don't be weird, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? That will be weird because they will undoubtedly open their eyes if they're closed, look you right in the face and say, how did you know that? Right? It happens quite frequently, that type of thing, you know? So that's if we can create these categories, I'm now doing a seminar on weird. If we can do good weird and bad weird, that's good weird, right? That's like, they knew something about me that like, you know, I remember praying for somebody in Haslam's Lane that had thrown themselves into an 11th night bonfire on drugs. And they were still in their burn bandages. And I prayed, James and I were praying for him. And what we thought was really like, he's sitting on a chair. I said, do you mind if I put my hand on his shoulder? No, no problem. Put my hand on his shoulder. I said, come Holy Spirit. And he stood up out of the chair and said, what did you do to me? And I went, what? I'm not sure. Tell me what's happened, you know? And he said, I've taken every drug under the sun. I've never felt anything like that before. What was that? Good weird, right? Still weird for that person. But all I literally did, put my hand on the shoulder and say, come Holy Spirit, you know? Bad weird is like clapping in people's ears when they've just come forward for prayer, or blowing their face, or... You know, I have literally roared over people before, like literally, like, I mean, some of you have heard me do it in worship before, but in a ministry context, literally, like, that's pretty weird, you know, and was very significant for the particular individual, and it's probably not that appropriate to get into the details of what that was about, but that would be in the category of bad weird on a Sunday morning, right? That's not what we're looking for there. You know, so questions that lead to revelation will be experienced as unusual or weird for the person, but it's not necessarily the type of thing that we're worried about. It's more that other stuff. So, any other questions? Yeah, so... So discernment's really important, okay? So, and this is where, like, we will be there, okay? So Claudia's going to be helping lead this team. The people that are on the team on Sundays will have lanyards. What we think we're going to do is create a different lanyard for the person who's kind of quarterbacking the kind of prayer ministry time, because it won't always be Claudia, but that you guys will get to know who's got the, I don't know what it'll be, the green lanyard on today. And if there's anything at any time that you're unsure of, just kind of, and then like some of our staff team will be around and all that sort of stuff. There is often, we are trusting that God is giving us gifts of discernment in those sorts of moments of what's actually going on. One of the things that can often happen is if we feel like it's a bit more demonic, and actually probably if it was on a Sunday morning and it was really loud and I even thought it was emotional, if I was involved, I'm probably straight away thinking about how they feel about this happening in this moment in front of all of these people. You know, so I'm probably going to go, God doesn't leave the room whenever you ask someone, are they okay? Right? So, like, that's really important. Like, hey, usually I'll say the person's name. Are you okay? Tell me what's going on. That's sometimes I think we think discernment has to work like magic, that we can't say anything. We're supposed to figure it out. It's like, no, just say their name. You know, are you okay? You know, they'll have some sense of like, I don't know what that was, or I'm really heavy about this other thing, you know? And then again, we're thinking about not just their dignity, but also everyone else's. That's why Sunday morning is an interesting space. Now, here's what you need to know. And I've said this so many times. We are not in pursuit of weird, right? But when God moves in people's lives, stuff happens, okay? And so we are also not going to be ashamed of that or avoid that, okay? So that's where there is a degree of trust and learning that we all need in that kind of moment of like, we're going to make some calls. We're not going to get it right all the time. Can I tell you about one of my love hates about this community? It's a proper love hate. Like, I love it and it really makes me uncomfortable. It's things happen that are not planned. Like, I love it and I hate it. Right? Sometimes they happen when I've just invited a friend. They've never been to church before. Like, why this week? Right? If things only ever happen that we expect, I have questions about whether God's in the room. Right? Or we predict is better, because I think we expect him to move. But if we can predict what's going to happen from we start to we end, I've got questions around whether the Lord's there. I know that feels a bit maybe pointed, but it's like, you know, and there's a whole pile of stuff that we need to discern. Because just because someone's shrieking doesn't mean that it's God or the devil. Sometimes it's just them, right? And it's all part of it. So we need to discern, and I would always encourage you, if someone's having quite an extreme reaction, to just tap them on the shoulder, say their name, and ask them if they're okay, you know? And then you can continue or decide, do you want to sit down? Do you want a glass of water? We are not trying to conjure anything. We're trying to respond to things. And the other thing that you'll notice, particularly when it comes to the emotional healing stuff, is it's like layers of an onion. Like, particularly when people have been carrying stuff for decades, it's not like one cry in church sorts it. You know, there's like and this is actually the grace of God. There's just, it's how he walks and works with us that we have these moments of breakthrough and then trying to occupy new space. And then we feel like we're okay. And then we're like, why am I going through this thing that I thought was sorted? It's like, well, there's more of it that needs sorted. And, you know, so it's process and it's journey. And I know journey is such a cliche word, but it is so true. So Heidi, did you have a question? So we're going to chat at the end just around some of our prayer protocols, and we'll actually have some of this written up for you around if someone discloses something to you that makes you feel unsafe or you think has made them unsafe, it is so, so, so important that you tell Blue Lanyard or whatever lanyard color it's going to be. I've maybe made the decision now that it's blue, but whatever. Whatever the person is that Sunday that is in charge, and here's our rule for that. If you have any doubt, then there's no doubt, you have to share it. That's really important. It's not your job to figure out, oh, should I, shouldn't I? Like, if you have any doubt, share it with somebody. Okay? And that's not a friend. I mean, share it with the appropriate person that, you know, that we can make sure people are taking care of. Andrew?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, right, is there any other things like safeguarding for vulnerable?
Yeah, so this is one of the things why the pairs thing is really, really important in terms of what we're going to do. So the reality is on a Sunday, if someone's 11, that's maybe obvious. If they're 15, it's often not. Someone mistook Noor for my wife the other day. I know. So that was fun. Yeah, maybe I just look really young. Yeah. if you don't know my daughter, she's 14, right? So she's still very much in that category of young person. You know, so it is possible that you will be praying for people. We also have teenagers come to church without their parents. Okay, so if you're unsure of age, it's okay to ask. You know, it's also really okay that we're praying in pairs at the front of a church for a teenager. That's okay. We're not saying that's out of bounds. We're not doing that. But that's really important that you understand who you're praying for. And so if you're not sure, can I just check what age you are? And then I think if you're praying appropriately, you shouldn't necessarily be praying any different for a 26-year-old than you would a 15-year-old. okay? But it might help you just to be to bear that in mind. And if something significant happens, then that's really, really important that we're talking to Blue Lanyard and that we're thinking about, are their parents here? Do we need to talk to them about them being involved? All that sort of stuff, you know, so that's important. Do you want to say something? Oh, sorry. Again, yes, and well, we have some people that we do refer to, but our first protocol for people in that situation will always be GP. So that's our first thing in that. Are you talking to your GP? That's where you need to go first. So we wouldn't advise anything further than that if that's not happening. So that's important. I wouldn't be encouraging you to refer anyone to anything in a prayer ministry context. You know, again, it's much, much safer if we're not there. Now, you might feel, and I know we do have some professionals in the room, your professional discretion, I trust, you know. So as doctors, mental health practitioners, if you're going, look, I think we called your GP, be really, really helpful. But I don't want you feeling like that's our expectation on prayer ministry. Okay? And if you're not sure about that, that's where... include Blue Lanyard or one of us, and we can help be involved in that conversation. If there's something disclosed that you think is really, really important for maybe one of us to know about, again, a really appropriate thing would be, gosh, that's a really significant thing you've shared with me. Would you mind if I got one of the pastors to join us and hear a little bit about that and pray for you? Because that allows us to then kind of do some follow-up beyond Sunday morning if there was something pretty significant going on, which does happen regular enough, you know, already with what we do. People bring stuff up and then that ends up with us and we're dealing with it through the week. So last question, and then we'll do words of knowledge and then we'll pray. There may not be one. Great. All right. So what I'm going to do is those of you who have words of knowledge, I'm going to do 3, 2, 1, go. And then I want you to just, I don't know how we'll do this, but because just taking turns. This will bounce around the room a wee bit, I think. We'll wait till they're all done, okay? And then if any of them have resonated with you in any way, then if you could stand, all right? And then we'll get into twos and threes and pray. All right? Go. Do we have any? Have you got one? Okay. Okay. So you're thinking physical heartburn type symptoms, or like their actual like emotions are sort of raw? Okay, so we'll go raw emotions or actual heartburn. Take either. Have you got any?
Yeah, so I got a sense of like a siren going off in someone's head.
Okay. Okay, migraine, left eye issues, tinnitus, anything in that camp? Any more? Yeah, Johnny? Migraine headache, okay, we've got that twice. Great. It's awful whenever I say great. anytime I give words of knowledge that are mine and someone responds, I'm like, brilliant! So glad you're not well. Sorry. Any more? So good. Yeah, great. God come in really resonating with somebody. Tim? Cool. Yeah. Susie? Okay. Feeling burnt out? Yeah. Great. So here's a wee bit of coaching for the room. Onwards knowledge. Okay. We don't need stories. We don't need explanations. Burnout's a word. Heartburn's a word. Migraine's a word. Go. Okay. Wisdom. So again, how do you know if that's actually something that the Lord has for you? Okay. I think we probably agree we all want to be wise, hopefully, you know. But what happens with words knowledge is, if that is one, that's like something happens in you. Our Pentecostal friends would talk about getting a witness. What that means is their body responds. Something between their spirit and their body goes, oh, that's for me. That's a really important thing to pay attention to, by the way. Anyway, around wisdom. Let me do this. This will be fun. Close your eyes for a second. So I just release the gift right now of words of knowledge. Receive words of knowledge right now. So here's how it works. If something popped into your mind, let's keep them physical for a moment. Just keep your eyes closed. That might help you. Just say it out loud. It might be a right toe, left knee, back pain, something else. Just if you get a sense of something, don't try to wrestle with, oh, is it me? Is it God? Just say it out loud. Go. Left knee. Left shoulder. What was that other one over here? Lamppost. Cold. Heart sore. Breath. Burning skin. Cancer. Two more. Shins. Rushing wind. We'll do one more. Wisdom. Itch. Great. Okay, open your eyes. So if any of those, from we started that exercise to itch, if any of those words resonated with you in any way, okay, here's what's really, really important. Are we kind of constrained Northern Irish selves, right? If there's something going on in your body, and one of those things, it's like left knee was the word, and you have a sore right knee, okay? Just take it. Okay? Just take it. Sometimes I am convinced that we feel like God would need to write our name and address and date of birth on a postcard in order for us to think that he might be speaking to us. We are flawed, right? We don't get it perfectly right all the time. Okay? And we're trying and we're learning. Okay? So if we got any way close to any of that stuff, stand now. Great. So those of you who are standing, I'm going to need you to move around the room and find a bit of space. Okay? Just find a little bit of room. And the rest of you are going to put into practice what you've just learned. Okay? So this is probably not going to work. So we need a little bit more space in between you, because I'm going to get some people to gather around you. Okay, so we want to be in at least pairs, okay? But you don't need to go with someone you know. In fact, I'd kind of encourage you to not go with someone you know, all right? Introduce yourself to the person that goes and stands by somebody. Wait until there's two of you there, okay? And then ask the person if they're happy to share with you what they've responded to. If for any reason you feel like you would rather not, that is totally okay. Okay? One of the things that I actually quite enjoy when people respond for prayer for me is when they say, just pray. Okay? Because it gives you the total freedom to get it really right or really wrong. Right? Does that make sense? And so we're going to put it into practice. Keep our eyes open. Don't be weird. Keep your prayer short. All right? If it's physical healing, we just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to the thing. All right? Okay. Find some people to pray for. No, why don't you do that? Don't start praying until you're at least pairs. Okay? So introduce yourself while you're maybe waiting. If it's a physical health thing, check if it's sore. Heat's really, really common. That's really normal. We see that all the time and can mean a number of things. Sometimes it's healing. Sometimes it's just the Lord's presence. Just dialogue with him and that. Really important. Anything else helpful to just kind of throw into the room? Yeah. Yeah. Like this is one of the things that, like, sometimes we make, like, normal things, like, we sort of take it for granted a little bit, that when people pray for us, there's this principle in the scriptures talks about footholds become strongholds. It works in the good sense also, that as we create footholds for God in our lives, they become strongholds. And we're going to pray just for some impartation in just a second for some gifts. But also that would happen for us, that we would be empowered to live the way that Jesus wants us to. And the thing about, I can't remember who used to talk about this, about like humans leaking. Who used to talk about that? We get filled up with the Holy Spirit and then we leak. And we need to be filled up all the time. Like, it's not about the Holy Spirit has departed or abandoned us or all that sort of stuff, but it's why we are designed to be in community, right? That as we go after God and we empty ourselves, that we need to be recharged and we need to be recharged and we need to be recharged. So I'm going to pray in just a second. And Chris, Claudia, you're going to help me. This is what's really important, and this would really serve our church. Okay, like, we would so serve our church. There'll be an email, because I think the QR code's not quite working. We're going to email everybody who signed up to be here tonight with the sign up for the team. Okay, so we said this being here is not automatically made you. This Sunday, I'll be like calling you out, be like, come on up. You're it. And if you decide to do that in a week or 2 weeks or whatever, or 2 years or never, that's fine. But we'll see. We'll email you a link to actually join the prayer team with some more instructions around how that's actually going to work. But what would really change our church is whenever we offer ministry, if you're not on the team, just respond. Like, we have this thing that you only go up there if your like life's falling apart. It's really unhelpful. You know, and actually we probably have some things to grow in there in terms of not always throwing out things that are difficult or bad. Or, you know, if you just want more of God, which I think most of us probably would, just respond. I was chatting with somebody pastorally last week. I was like, you should be at the front receiving ministry every time it's available. Not because there's something wrong in your life, because there's something right in your life. It's major life change, some really exciting stuff going on. I'm like, this is the moment for you to go, God, fill me up for all these good things you're doing. Okay? So we have to get over this kind of cultural idea that you get prayer whenever life's gone wrong. And of course, if life's gone wrong, we want to pray. But also, in the midst of all the things that are going on in our lives, if we could just make it culturally normal in this community that we're all receiving prayer. I try to model it as much as I can when people come and give me encouraging words at the front of being like, would you just pray for me? You know, and stand there and receive prayer. Because it's just the most important thing, right? So there you go. We need a big ministry team for Sunday. But yeah, that would really change our church. Is if you could just not think, oh, what will people think? Or what did this, whatever. Just present yourself. And you don't need some specific word to have been shared. Just pray for me, would you? All right, that makes sense? Great, come here.
Okay, so before we go, it's important. We're taught to eagerly desire the gifts, also to receive the gifts. And so if you have the gift of healing, or you eagerly desire the gift of healing, can you put your hands out as a posture to receive right now? I don't care how eager, if they're in or out. Like, if you wanted a wee bit or a lot, either way. God, the truth is, God will probably give you as much as you want. I think that's probably important. So, let me release this. Right now, I impart and release afresh the gift of healing
over your hands to restore broken bodies and broken minds. I pray right now that restoration would rest on your hands, that through the laying of your hands, you would see wholeness arrive to bodies, to hearts, to minds, to families and institutions. Right now, we just release it afresh. Some of you are experiencing your hands shake a little bit. Right now, God, I pray for a greater measure, a greater impartation. Right now, for some of you, your capacity is being stretched in a new way. You're receiving more because he wants to do more in and through it. And so just, it's also important, but it's also the desire of your own heart. If you want more, God, just say, I want more. I want more. And if you have the gift of the prophetic or words of knowledge, we're going to lump them together right now for this, or you eagerly desire the gift of the prophetic or words of knowledge, can I ask you, this is going to seem strange, can I ask you to put your hands on your head? This might be all of us, but... and so I impart... and I release afresh your prophetic birthright. I awaken your mind and your imagination to the wildness and the beauty of God. I pray right now for revelation, for download, for prophetic insight, for knowledge and wisdom that only the Lord can deposit. I pray for dreams in the night. I pray for visions in the day. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, would you raise up the prophets? Raise up the prophets. And would your voice be awoken?
The other thing that I was sensing that God was wanting to release today is the gift of encouragement and words of wisdom. If that's you and that resonates with something that you either feel like God has already gifted you with, or something that you would love to be able to have that gift of encouragement. We just put your hand on your heart. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, would you release the gift of encouragement right now? Lord, that your children would encourage the communities around them. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for a boldness to come with that. Lord, as you pour out your encouragement, Lord, that people would have a boldness to go and share the words that they are receiving, not just whilst they are on preliminary team, but Lord, if they see someone and they have a word of encouragement for them, Lord, that they would give encouragement to that person right then, right there in that moment. Yeah, more of you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Wow. What better way to invest 2.5 hours of your life? We have an invitation from Jesus to be a part of the story that he's writing in people's lives. Like, it's outrageous that that's how he designed it. It's totally mental. It blows my mind. So we're going to email you the sign-up link if you want to be on the team. Our hope is to launch the team, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Okay, a few things we need to do to line that up. And one of the things we want to make sure we're not doing is that you're not on every week or even every couple of weeks. So, like, I'd love it if we were doing sort of once a month sort of rotations, okay? Final thing for me, you have just received gifts. Put them to work, okay? So if you responded to healing and you find a colleague tomorrow being like, oh, my shoulder is so sore, Your mouth will get dry. Your palms will get sweaty. Lick your palms and pray. And Hots are out this Saturday. What time are you out? 10:30, 12:30 in Bow Street. Outside the old bank. If you wanna just jump in for an hour and see what it's like, these guys would love you to join their team. Okay, you will not. I promise. Like, commit to that for a number of weeks. You'll not regret it. But put them to work. You know, notice what's going on over the next few days. Sometimes the indicator that something has changed is that you noticed what you didn't notice before, even if you missed the opportunity. So you walk out of the room, you're like, that person said sore shoulder and I didn't pray. But last week you wouldn't have even thought that. Okay? That's growth. So don't beat yourself up. All right? God bless you all. Thanks so much for coming. See you soon.